Hello, I'm Will Stein, and welcome to Geography Island Jams. This podcast is in the same style as the BBC Radio 4 Desert Island Disc series, whereby each episode I ask my interviewee what 8 songs, book, and luxury item they would want to take with them if they were stranded on a desert island. For rights reasons, the music has not been included in the podcast. You can find links to the 8 songs on the LSE Geography and Environment website. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Geography Island Jams. With me today, I have Nick Gottman. Nick is currently doing his Master's in Environment and Development, which is in fact his second Master's. Before coming to the LSE, Nick did a Bachelor's in International Business Administration and a Master's in International Economics at the Erasmus University Rotterdam. In between finishing his first Master's and starting at the LSE, Nick spent 2 years working as an economic policy consultant at Genomics, focusing on the areas energy and climate change. Nicholas was born in Heidelberg, Germany, and lived there until he was 18. In addition to this, Nick has lived in 6 different countries across the past 10 years. They include Germany, the USA, Chile, the Netherlands, France, and since starting the LSE, has lived in West Kensington, the UK. So welcome, Nick.
Thanks, Will. Yeah, delighted to be here.
So you did your bachelor's in International Business Administration and a master's in International Economics.
Right.
Do you remember when you first started thinking about going into like the environmental sector?
Yeah, I can sort of like pin it down to one specific event. We had a workshop in my master's that was given by the company that I ended up working for. And, you know, I never thought that I would really go into the environmental space because I was very much interested in the development space first and foremost. But then that was sort of like my entry into, you know, doing economic policy consulting, which at the point was what I wanted to do. And then it took maybe 3 months working at the company, and I started loving it and ultimately decided that I needed some more, background, some more foundation in the topic. So that's why I ultimately, you know, chose to come to the LSE and get a master's in environment and development. It was a lucky coincidence, I'd say.
And do you have a favorite topic which you've studied so far, something you found most interesting?
I'd say neoliberalism in general. Going back, you know, to the late 70s up until today, I think it has been a very interesting period, especially looking at it in a historical context. Since you can see a lot of things that have been happening in the past 40 years that had happened before, that we tend to overlook. And I really like sort of historicizing that and looking back and seeing how we can, you know, draw parallels and just doing that investigative type of work to see, you know, how can we avoid problems in the future that we might actually know about already. And that's what I really enjoyed, especially the core course of the development studies masters that I did this year talked about this, and it was incredibly interesting, especially focusing on how much state and how much market do we need. You know, that's what it boils down to. So I do enjoy that, and that obviously now in post-corona times is what's going to become center stage, especially looking at a green recovery. How much of that is going to be state-led? How much of it is going to be, you know, dictated by the rules of the market? So yeah, that's what I really enjoy.
So we're now coming onto the music. Can you tell me about the first song you're going to be taking with you?
Absolutely. So this is I've listened to a bunch of the other podcasts, and everyone's got that one melancholic one, I suppose. But this one's called "Du trägst keine Liebe in dir" by Echt, which is a German artist. They were really big in the late 90s for a short period of time. And I think the golden age of German pop, which was around that time, just always takes me back to my childhood. And this song in particular is just, you know, it's very poppy, but it's just good, you know, it's just a good song. Every now and then you just got to acknowledge that, you know, pop is just, it's just, you know, good music for specific situations. And I think, especially thinking back to, you know, old days, it's just nice to have songs that take you back.
You've been at LSE since September last year. Do you have a favorite experience from your time at the LSE so far?
Yes, a bunch of favorite experiences. The sheer supply of events, and especially the quality of the people that are coming to the LSE, blew my mind. I mean, I knew that that was going to happen, but I did not expect it to be this crazy. And I saw a lot of my favorite politicians, academics, and, you know, that I would have never dreamed of in such a short period of time. I mean, we got cut short in March, but, you know, up until March, I'd already seen so many interesting, famous people that I was like, you know what, that alone was worth it. So I really enjoyed that part of the LSE experience.
What about in London generally? Any favorite places?
Favorite places in London? I'd say, you know, like around where I live, I really enjoy the part of the Thames in Fulham, you know, going across to Richmond as well. It's just very beautiful. I always lived closer to a more greener part of town, luckily, in the, you know, different places that I lived in. And it's something that I've, you know, learned I needed. So it's very nice to be living in a part of London that has a lot of green areas and green spots. And yeah, I'd say the Fulham Thames Walk is what it's called. They've got like a long boulevard along the Thames leading up to Hammersmith Bridge. That is just incredible for a sunset. Can only recommend it. Yeah.
And what about places to eat? Any favorite go-tos in London?
Yeah, there's three things actually that I'm going to say. There's Burger and Beyond. They're at Camden Market, but they've also got a restaurant in Shoreditch, I think. Incredible burger. Then at Borough Market, they've got a duck confit sandwich, which is just out of this world. It's the literally best duck sandwich I've had in my life, probably. And then there's this place in Hammersmith, but I do think it's a chain. They're called Wing Wing. Best wings I've ever had in my life. Korean style wings. Amazing. And I must say, I've definitely supported my local businesses during the lockdown. a lot of money spent on getting my fix of Korean wings every Sunday.
So now moving on to your second song, can you tell me what it is and if there's any reasons why?
Yeah, I hope I'm not going to shock anyone listening to this on the Geography Insta page stories, but it's From the Inside by Linkin Park. Linkin Park was through most of my teenage years my favorite band, and that obviously creates like a special bond that you have with the band. I've seen them many times live, and From the Inside in particular I'd never seen live, but it had always been my favorite song because of, you know, the sheer energy of the song. It's just incredible. And Chester Bennington, who's the singer of Linkin Park, or was the singer of Linkin Park, he just has the most incredible and versatile voice, in my opinion, in the music industry. And they played that song live for the first time when I was there at the last concert that I saw them at, which was about a month before Chester ended up killing himself. And that was just an incredible experience. And looking back, you know, it also provided some kind of closure. You know, if your childhood hero dies, obviously that's a pretty intense experience. But that's why this song has a special place in my heart, even though it's quite heavy for some.
So you spent the first 18 years of your life growing up in Heidelberg in Germany. What was it like growing up there, and how does it compare to London?
You know, it's a small city. I mean, it's got about 150,000 to 200,000 inhabitants. So it's a smaller city, but in itself in Germany, it's also quite a bubble, because we've got a lot of big companies that are actually headquartered there. So BASF is just outside of Heidelberg. You've got SAP, who's headquartered in Heidelberg as well, Heidelberg Cement. So there's a lot happening there. And I guess there's also obviously a lot of wealth coming into the city. So life was, you know, very good. And especially if you go then to other parts of Germany as you're growing up, you do start realizing how good life in Heidelberg actually is. So definitely got to be aware of you know, the privilege of living in a both, you know, economically very prosperous city and at the same time very beautiful city. We've got an amazing castle and live just at the edge of what is called the Odenwald, which is a part of central mountain ridges in Germany. We've got quite a lot of them. So incredible nature, very picturesque. So yeah, it was I one of those places where people just say like it's a perfect place to grow up in. So it definitely was, and I'm very privileged to have grown up there. So yeah, London is obviously quite different in that it's much bigger. The air is not as clean. Yeah.
So it's evident that you've traveled around a lot. Do you have a place which you would say is the most beautiful place you've been to?
Probably just recently, Mosio Atunia, which is the name for Victoria Falls. Victoria Falls is incredible. If you go and you look at it, like something just overcomes you. Like it's just such an incredible wonder of nature. You've got at the end of it, you start, you know, walking along it. It's very long. And then when you come to the last bit, as if, you know, nature created its own like national park, knowing that people are going to want to walk through it. You come to the very end and there's a cliff and you've got three rainbows stacked on top of each other coming out of, you know, the precipice. And it's just incredible. And you could just stand there for hours and look at it. So that is definitely in my top three. I think another place that is very much out of this world is Easter Island. When I lived in Chile, I was lucky to get the chance to fly to Easter Island, which is part of Chile. And it just feels like you're on another planet, really. And seeing the Moais, which are these, you know, head statues, and knowing that they've, you know, been built, you know, around 500 to 700 years ago, and no one really knows like why they were built or what had happened to the people that had built them. Yeah, it's just, you know, a big mystery, you know, and you sort of like sense that as you're on the island. So it was very incredible. And the runway, funny enough, was built by NASA. It was built by the US military and NASA because it was, I think, a runway for the space shuttle program if they had to abort mission.
Wow.
For the space shuttle to land there. So that's why they can actually fly a Boeing 737 to the island, which was quite cool, yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's like big planes they fly in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Can you now tell me about the third song you'll be taking with you?
Sure. The third song is Yellow Brick Road by Angus and Julia Stone. Simply because, you know, when you're cast away on an island, you definitely want to have some Angus and Julia Stone with you, because it's just the most relaxed, chill type of music. I admire both of them. They have incredible solo work as well. Funny thing, actually. I mean, they are siblings, but apparently they didn't get along while they were writing the first two albums, and then the third one. Or a fourth one, even the latest one, let's say. They, Rick Rubin, who was the producer, he got them back together and apparently reconciled them, and sort of like that was the first album that they'd created together in the same studio. Otherwise they'd always like write it, you know, remotely. And this one is actually from an earlier album, but I think it encompasses really the talent of the two of them to just create. Not only, you know, your Jack Johnson type of like beach dude type of song, but with a little bit more depth, and you know, it's just a perfect background music when you're chilling with a beer on the beach. So I definitely want that song to come with.
So the next few questions are about food. Do you have a dish which you most enjoy to cook?
You're putting me on the spot here.
Yeah. Bear in mind, I can't cook for the life of me. So.
I think, you know, my stepdad's Italian. So actually, he taught us a thing or two about making some of the traditional Italian dishes. So I think, I make a pretty good carbonara, you know, classic, Also a great staple food for student life. So yeah, I'd say my carbonara is
great dish. And what about in all your travels, are there any dishes you remember which have been the most unusual that you've either seen or tried yourself?
I guess the most unusual dish I've had was guinea pig. I tried guinea pig when I was in Ecuador, just because, you know, that's something that I guess you have to try when you're there. Yeah, that and when I was in Bolivia, we had grass-fed llama, and the grass that they were grazing on was right next to the salt lakes in that part of Bolivia. So you don't need to season the meat. It was quite incredible, actually. Very tasty, wow. I must say. I hope this is not going to be a problem. This is a podcast for the geography and environment department. I might make some enemies right now, but yeah, I'm going to have to say guinea pig, probably not going to eat again in my life, because A, they're cute, B, it's not very tasty, not a lot of meat on it. Grass-fed Bolivian llama, definitely recommend.
And then we're now moving on to your fourth song. Can you tell me what it is and if any reasons why?
Yes, absolutely. So my fourth song is In Degrees by Foles. And Foles are just incredible. Like for the past 4 or 5 years, I think they've become my favorite band. Incredibly talented group of musicians. And I think they've really brought back indie rock, alternative rock, in a way that is accessible to the broader masses, which is cool, you know, because that also means that you've got bigger concerts, which create a specific type of energy, which I really enjoy. And this song in particular is just very energetic. And if you're, you know, caught on an island for who knows how long, you definitely want to have those songs that, you know, just give you the energy to, I don't know, make boring and chill life a little bit more fun. And I think this song in particular can do the trick.
So before coming to the LSE, you did your bachelor's and first master at the Erasmus University Rotterdam. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me more about your time there? Like, what do you remember most prominently from studying there?
So the great thing about Erasmus University and Rotterdam School of Management, which is the faculty that I did my bachelor's in, is that they've got a campus, and a lot of students live very close to campus. So for the 3 years that you're doing your degree, you really create a sort of family feeling with everyone else on your course. So you know each and every person on the 350 person program. And at the time I was doing the bachelor's, there was no opportunity to choose any electives, so everyone was basically doing the same thing all the time, which creates another, you know, very great dynamic of, yeah, just like we're all in this together. And I think the really cool thing about having studied there is that you really come out of it with friends for life and a larger group of, you know, really good friends, which I very much appreciate, even though, you know, and down the line it was not something that I wanted to focus on in my career. It definitely helped in terms of, you know, just finding really good friends, which is worth something, I'd say.
Do you have any funny or memorable stories from there?
The national holiday is King's Day, so they celebrate the King's birthday every year. Everyone dresses up in orange and it's just one big party on the streets, which is incredible, you know. And we'd always go to Amsterdam and get a little boat and just navigate through the canals of Amsterdam, and it really gets quite packed at some point, like around 3 or 4. You can barely move on the canals, and it's just an incredible environment. Literally you feel like everyone's out and everyone's having a good time. So I really do appreciate that about the Netherlands in general and about the Dutch people. They're just incredible people, always trying to make the best of things. And I think that encapsulates that, especially that day. So yeah, fond memories of King's Day every time.
So then after completing your first master's, you spent 2 years working as an economic policy consultant. Can you tell me more about your time working at Trinomics? Like, what does it mean to be an economic policy consultant?
Sure. So basically what the work entails is, in the case of Trinomics, it was fully focused on the public sector. So the work encompassed doing evaluations, impact assessments for public sector organizations, national or international. Most of our work was for the European Commission, and in the European Commission, specific director generals, energy, climate, or environment. And basically what you do is, yeah, you evaluate policies that had been, you know, in that had been implemented, you know, for a good 5 or 10 years, for example. And then what you do is you try and gather as much information and data as possible about that specific policy, and you're coming up with, you know, an evaluation, for example. And that can be quantitative, that can be qualitative, depending on the nature of it. So it was quite flexible. But there were a lot of interesting projects that I was involved in. For example, one was basically doing the impact assessment for European spending on the ITER machine, which is the world's largest nuclear fusion reactor. Wow. So what you do then is you get, you know, all the cost data, for example, on the parts of the machine that the European Commission has to deliver. And then you see how that has created jobs, spillovers for the contractors that carried out that work inside the European Union. You see how it's divided across European Union membership countries, for example. And then you come up with, there's like a scorecard basically that you need to work with. And then you come up with sort of like the value of a specific spending mechanism, policy, whatever it is. So yeah, it's very versatile type of work. And especially when you're starting, like you're not specialized yet, and you hop from one project to another. And it was very interesting, and just gives you an insight into a lot of things, and enables you to then maybe choose something that you're truly interested in. You know, you don't get locked in, which is nice.
Fabulous. So can you now tell me about the fifth song you'll be taking with you?
Absolutely. This is a song called Intongawe from Sunil Musician and Emi Faku. They are both South African artists. So I lived with South Africans for most of the last 6 years. So I really got an insight into the South African music scene, which is, I think, in my opinion, incredible. Very vibrant music scene. A lot of really good stuff is coming from there. This song is in Xhosa, which is one of the local languages, which I very much enjoy. Also, there's a very vibrant music scene in Zulu, which is another one of the local languages. And it's just a great mix of sort of like Western influences and local South African music influences that are coming together, especially in this song, which is why I very much enjoy it, actually.
So my next question is a classic. If you can invite anyone in the world to your dinner party, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Okay, this is an easy one. Probably Barack Obama. I don't know. Maybe I'm blinded by how lovable he just is in general, you know, and how much charisma he's got. But I do believe he was an incredible politician, and I'd love to just get his insights, also because he was very much about foreign relations and the US's role abroad, especially in his last 2 years in office, to just get his take on a lot of the world's current problems, because I think he's got a very good grasp of that. And especially if you're, you know, Commander-in-Chief of the US Army, I think there's a lot, I don't know to what extent he'd be able to share some of the classified information with me, you know. But if I can get, you know, a bottle or two of red wine into him, maybe he'd share. But so yeah, that would definitely be my dream dinner guest.
Next one is, growing up, did you have any childhood ambitions, and are they the same as your ambitions now?
This might be a classic, but I really wanted to become an actor. And I think the older I'm getting, the more I'm realizing that maybe being famous is not as fun as you think it is when you're 14 or 15. I was part of the drama club in my high school for like 8 years. Really enjoyed acting, but then realized that, you know, the risk might be too high, and I might, you know, be ending up not making as much money or being as financially stable as I would like for myself to be. So decided against it. Yeah.
And we're now moving on to your sixth song.
All right. My sixth song is Ambiente by J Balvin. I obviously had to put in a reggaeton song here because this is actually like classic. Before I went to Chile, I was like, what is this? You know, I really do not like reggaeton. The only song that, you know, we all knew was Gasolina by Daddy Yankee. You know, I just like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I can listen to it a couple of times, but then, you know, it's enough. And then you go to South America, to Latin America in general, you go to clubs and you get really used to reggaeton and you come back, you love it so much. And same thing happened to me. And I think J Balvin in particular is just an incredible artist. In the genre, because he's also not as misogynistic as some of his fellow artists, because yeah, reggaeton tends to be quite sexist, but it's just a good vibe, and I'd love to, you know, have some positive and danceable vibes on a desert island, you know, on a sunny day, maybe with a mojito in hand. That would be fabulous.
So my next question, do you have any pet peeves? Is there anything which bothers you way more than anything else?
So a thing that I really don't like is when people pack my dishwasher. Like, you know, there's one way to pack a dishwasher and it's my way. I appreciate you wanting to help, but I don't know. There's people that put glasses and cups in the lower compartment, and that just grinds my gears. Just makes zero sense. So if you come to my house, please do not pack my dishwasher.
Oh, no, I love that. I think that's probably my favorite one so far. Do you have a bucket list? And if so, is there anything you're most keen to do?
Yeah, go into space.
Oh, really?
Go into space. I don't think I've got... I think my vertigo is too bad to ever become an astronaut. But, you know, even if it means that I'm going to be vomiting my guts out, like, I would definitely love to see Earth from above. Who knows? Maybe by the time I'm 60, you know, we can be tourists in space.
Can you now tell me about the seventh song you'll be taking?
Absolutely. My seventh song is a song called The Water from Ryex. Ryex is an artist that I only recently got into about 2 years ago. And he is really serious about his music. And what I enjoy about him is when you see him live, he always says, no concert's the same, because he takes his songs and he improvises on them, makes them those like 10-minute like grand pieces of art, basically. And I saw him in the Royal Albert Hall in the fall. And it was just absolutely stunning, because he sometimes gets a Philharmonic Orchestra to play with him, and that just gives, you know, the songs an extra boost. And this is just the perfect type of music to unwind, close your eyes, and just relax and maybe meditate a little bit. So yeah, definitely would want to take a song like that with me as well.
So moving on to the last few questions now. Do you have any life accomplishments or achievements which you're most proud of?
I think learning the languages of the places I went to is something that I'm most proud of, but I always saw as a necessity as well. Because you're only really living in a country, for emphasis on living, if you speak the language, and if you can connect on that level with the people that live in that country. And I'm very happy that I managed to learn the languages of the countries that I lived in to an extent that I was always able to, you know, create lasting and really good friendships and make the most of my time and really get a good understanding of the culture.
So how many languages can you speak?
Five. Working on number six at the moment.
Wow. What are they?
So German, obviously, my mother tongue. And then I've learned English at a very early age. I had Spanish in school and then decided I didn't want to lose it. So that's why I went to Chile as well. And then I learned Dutch while I was living in the Netherlands. And then I learned French when I was doing my exchange in Paris. And now I'm just trying to capitalize on knowing two Romantic languages and learning some Portuguese. But it's a bit more difficult than Spanish, wow, for sure.
What is your favorite thing about being at the LSE?
I think just being around so many incredible people. I think I've learned so much from my fellow students than I ever have in any other like academic environment. And that's what I really enjoy. You know, you come to university every day and you're just having these really deep conversations about important subjects. And these are people that also want to engage in that type of conversation. You know, it doesn't always sort of like steer back to your normal, you know, small talk conversations. And I think that's what I sought and found at LSE. And that's what I really appreciated.
And can you now tell me about your eighth and final song?
Absolutely. My last song is Guava, the night mix by a DJ duo called Tunnel Visions. And this is just a great song to dance to. And just takes me back to my time in South Africa last year. We were so like in the middle of the desert playing this tune. And it was, yeah, it's just a great song to just unwind and shake your body to in a way. So definitely had to have that song on the list as well.
Fantastic. So we're now moving on to the last part. So you're able to take with you the Bible, the Beverage Report, and a book of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
What book are you going to take with you?
Definitely 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. In general, I think if you're stuck on a deserted island, you'd want to have a book that is magical realism with you, just to escape it maybe when it becomes too dull. And it's just a big book, a lot of different amazing stories in there. And yeah, I'd love to have that book with me, if any.
And last, but by no means the least, what is the luxury item you'll be taking with you?
Now, here we go. You know, I remember Sam took a Swiss Army knife, but I'm going to take the Swiss Army knife of the lazy person, which is a sandwich maker. Because, you know, sandwich makers are so versatile. Like, you can literally do anything with them. You find your sandwich maker every now and then in your cupboard, and you're like, you know what? For the next month, I'm just going to have sandwiches. And, I think it would be a good thing to have.
So is that the sandwich maker when you've got the warm sandwich maker, like the...
Yeah, exactly, grill. Yeah. To make toasties, yeah.
Yeah, what I think for the... I suppose, you know, good way to eat, you know. I suppose you can always use it to make other stuff as well, but you can't really get much better than a toasty on a...
No, and you know, I'm going to be on an island. Like, there's hopefully going to be pineapples, and you can just make toast Hawaii every day.
Got that as an island to be on. So, fab. Well, Nick, thank you very much for telling me about
you,
your job for Island Jams.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.